recommend, this is the Phil Henry Show. We're late getting out of the thing today, and I told this is a nightmare I just woke up from. That's what this is.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the show.
What is this? This is 36 Crazy Fists, General.
Well, it would take 36 Crazy Fists for me to... I could use 36 Crazy Fists to put these guys to death.
Oh, come on, man. All right, welcome to the show. Yeah, we are a little bit late.
Yeah, what's up with that?
No, kind of late, Mr. Billy.
Hey, why don't you guys get on mic, okay? All day yesterday, I'm listening to the show, and I'm listening to you guys off mic by about a mile.
I'm over here doing a lot of things.
Well, you have them doing different things, Phil.
I know I got them doing different things. You guys, it doesn't mean you can't be on mic.
Well, what'd you hear?
What did I hear? I heard this. It's kind of like this. You guys yelling like this.
Well, I don't know. You know, we're not professionals, Phil. How do you...
Just get right up, step right up to the plate there, General. You just...
You want me to be like this?
Not like that. It's blowing my ears out.
I gotta be over here to answer.
Come on, back off. God.
Well, you asked and you got, didn't you?
Well, I asked to these guys to be a professional crew, all right? So when you're working the mic, you go, you know, see where the microphone is?
Well, you know all about those things, like, you know, you're talking, why don't you talk directly into it?
You don't talk directly into it. Because you're going to get popping peas and things. Yes, I almost belched.
Thank you. I'd like the record to show that while Phil is very much a critic of the manners of people, you see, Phil is very difficult.
Well, it's not that difficult. So, good morning, folks, and welcome to our program. Today is whatever the hell it is, Tuesday. We've got Ted Bell standing by at Ted's Beverly Hills. Ted is going to be talking to us about the... He's installing some new equipment, is that right?
Yes, put in a new oven. And I believe it's a new pizza oven that he's going to be putting in.
A new pizza oven?
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to talk with Ted about that. What's the big thing with that?
No big thing with that, but he's, you know, he does that charity work with the visually impaired there, and I think he's in Portland, Oregon. Is it near Portland?
No, it's not Portland. His restaurant's in... What are you talking about?
What's the restaurant that he has in Portland?
He has no restaurant in Portland.
Well, he was doing some charitable...
Oh, you're talking about the kid that he was... That was a kid. He was working with visually impaired kids in Oregon for a while. I don't know why. Was he living up there?
No, what they were doing is they were thinking of starting a restaurant in Portland. Well, let him tell the story.
Yeah, okay, because I'm not completely clear on it. All right, and so Ted Bell is going to be with us. Dave Oliva is going to be with us about the potential, the possible, the ongoing discussions of legalizing recreational marijuana across the United States and what the repercussions of that will be. And then Debbie Daly is going to be celebrating her 5th anniversary on the air at public radio, right?
Yes, Debbie is celebrating her 5th year on the air at...
Just said that.
You just said it.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, that's all I know. It's her 5th year on the air at public radio, and we wish you all the very best, Debbie.
Yeah, this is the young lady that has the... She can't hear, right?
She is hearing impaired. I'm sorry. I just... Did that sound like a gag?
Yeah, it did, Miss Gray. You went kind of like this.
No, I didn't. I know it went like this. Right?
Yeah, okay.
What's wrong, Phil?
Yeah, what's wrong?
Hey, General, when I'm talking to her...
I don't know, I'm just noticing.
Okay, so you gagged, or whatever it was.
Well, don't make a big deal out of it, for God's sake.
Yeah, Mr. Ayers is pointing out the fact that Miss Gray went g-g-g-g, like that.
I didn't go g-g-g-g, as I was talking, I went g-g-g, like that. Why?
Well, I don't know, some people might take it the wrong way.
Well, then let the filthy-minded scum...
Now, Margaret.
No, if anybody took that the wrong way, let the scum out there...
I didn't take it the wrong way. You guys are making a big thing out of it. I'm just listening to this as it's happening.
Well, you're not going to believe what happens next, even when it's happening, my friend.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing. It's just from Coogan's Bluff. It's one of my favorite lines.
All right, so thank you very much. Let's say we go to the traffic right now, and that way we can just... Let's just pretend like we never met, huh? All right, here's Bob Bacon. Bob?
Hey, fellas, I'm down here, okay? That's the southbound, the guybound, and southbound. I'm southbound all the way, man. Every morning I get out of bed, I'm southbound or I'm northbound. I'll tell you one thing, I'm bound to love you. And I'll be on the Sydney Freeway with those southbound with Skyboy.
Hello, southbound with you, bud. The man, my love is our man. And a man came over to me, asked me to take candy, said to get in the car with him, and I get my gun.
And over here, it was down south, it's out of the 5 freeway. You're going to have his head down to the Y, and I'm going to see 10 cents of the Y before I see you. Over here, there's Margaret Graves. I see that Catherine Hepburn looks like a nun. She's playing Queen Bands. It's for good of Scotland down here. There's Bob Bacon with the trap.
Bob Bacon with the trap?
Yeah, that's the new lockout. He's everybody's doing the shorthand. I don't know what it's about.
You know, that shorthand stuff that was introduced over these various airwaves by Doug Danger, or I should say these very airwaves, not these various airwaves.
Hold on, what is this? And I got the Taylor
Swift and Nick. Don't worry about it. It's something that we're playing while we... Anyway, shorthand, I'll tell you what. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Good morning and welcome, and don't forget to get yourself a backstage pass to this here show. Well, there's a lot of stuff we do, and it's all for you, man. We have a massive R-cast.
We have massive archives, and you know the word massive, and you know the word gargle.
All right. You know, you got a problem with gargle, and yet you don't mind going, I gagged, and...
Because I did gag. It is reality. Would you turn this garbage down before I throw my guts up? That's very good. He's a very talented young man, isn't he?
Yeah, he's very good.
What I was going to say, Phil, is that the following... when I am having a difficulty, I do believe in being honest with the audience, but I will not kowtow and cater to those interests that wish for me to every...
Well, Margaret, it's not every day.
It's every day. They want to hear me say, oh, hi, I'm Margaret Gray. It's massive. Oh, I think I'll go gargle because of the filth and the dirt in the minds of many of your male listeners. Now...
Well, Ms. Gray, man, that's not everybody thinking that way.
I know what you guys are trying to do. You're trying to protect me from the perception that not every man is hot for me. And I'm not trying to think that they are, although it... Now I'm starting to sound egotistical, aren't I?
So your whole problem with saying gargle and massive is that it puts dirty thoughts into the minds of men.
I'm not some nun, Phil, but I do believe it's prurient.
What? What did you say that?
It is prurient. Prurient. And that means that it plays to the most illicit and filthy, the dirty...
So I used to whip with Madonna.
Get it.
I don't want to go any further with that.
Well, because my understanding is we're going to be talking about something filthy enough.
No, we're not going to talk about something filthy enough. We are talking to our friend Ted Bell. Is at Ted's of Beverly Hills. And Ted, how's it going there, brother? Hey, Ted.
Hold on, Bill. I'm waiting for my jingle, guys.
Hey, everybody, Ted Bell here. Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. There's nothing like a great, big, thick, juicy piece of meat that you can slip between your lips. That's right, it's Ted's meat. Go ahead and open your mouth and take my meat.
Oh, for God's sake, Ted.
Hey, wait. Hold on. What was the oh, for God's sake, Ted?
That was absolutely unnecessary. I can't hear myself.
Ted, you're pretty busy, huh?
Yeah, we're getting ready for the lunch rush. What's going on?
I said that was very unnecessary, the way that you put that.
I will not be bowled over by these individuals that want me to take a perfectly good advertising, an advertising slogan. What, we've already had this discussion.
Yeah, Ted, but when you say, slip my meat between your lips.
Okay, General, I'll play your game. So when I say that, do you feel like pulling it out? Oh, man.
Well, on a good day,
Oh, wow.
All right, knock it off.
No. I'm not going to say, let's go ahead and let's kind of round off the sharp edges on this thing. Either you get it or you don't. Either you understand or you don't. And I know you're kidding, General, but boy, that's a rough one. For first thing in the morning, you're talking about slipping your...
You said, let me slip my meat. Never mind.
All right. This is a problem we're going to have to solve some other time, Ted. But I do want to discuss with you something that is... Margaret was talking about prurience.
No, there's nothing prurient about this. There's nothing prurient about it at all. I was talking to this one over, the Dickman. Is he there?
Yeah, right here. I told Mr. Henry what it was about.
Well, you told him in such graphic terms... That I got a phone call early this morning from Phil asking me about the...
No. What I got from Bud was that you were chopping up jalapeno peppers.
I was helping out in the kitchen. Let me just tell the story. I was helping out here in the kitchen. I got Chedilli in here this morning. Hey, Chef, you doing?
I'm good.
Chef Chedilli, of course, is going to be on here in a second, Phil. I know with this cooking segment, but what did he just say to you? I was helping out chopping up some jalapeno peppers this morning. Now, that was about 2 hours ago. What happened next...
is something that I don't wish on my worst enemy. And the reason why I called Bud is because I wanted to do a public service mention, but I wanted it to be sculpted properly so there was no misunderstanding. Now, that didn't happen. He went to you, and he said what he said.
All I said was that you went into your office and...
Well, hold the phone.
Bud, you just keep your mouth shut. So go ahead.
What happened was I was chopping up the jalapeno peppers. I went into my office, and I was changing underwear, all right? I had some... I wanted to put on some new boxer shorts that I bought. I had them in my briefcase. And as you know, when you're changing your underwear, you're changing your pants, you're probably going to, I don't want to say, but I have to adjust myself because of certain...
Yes, Ted, we know. This is a great opportunity for you to come on the air and start talking about the massive and the gargling and the...
What are you talking about?
You know exactly what I mean.
All right, wait. What? So you went to the hospital.
Yeah, I had to go to the hospital, yes, because I had very, very serious... what the doctor told me was a very superficial acidic burn around my, and I'll go ahead and use, if I may use the Margaret Mumble.
You can use the Margaret Mumble so long as we maintain a level of adult conversation here.
Yeah, the whole thing's going to devolve into some jackassery.
Well,
yeah, man, what do you think going to happen?
Hey, if I hear one comment out of either one of those fools that you've got sitting there that pass for a couple of guys that help you with your show, that one with the plate in his head and that other fat clown, you know...
I'm not fat at all, man. I'm losing weight. I'm not a lot fatter than I used to be.
You're a lot fatter than you used to be.
I mean, I'm a lot skinnier than I used to be fat.
All right, so anyway.
So anyway, I had a slight burning around my vulva.
I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
Bush.
I heard him. I heard what he said.
Yeah, you said B-A.
Yeah.
Well, there's no point in doing the mumble.
All right. There's no... I just hit myself with my own fist. That's...
You what? Say that again?
I just hit myself with... I was going to take the phone, and I was going to move it into another position, and I belted myself with my own... So
you hit yourself with your own fist, and I'm sitting here having to be very gentle about burning my wound with jalapeno...
What happened?
What happened was I had to go to the hospital. I had to get some kind of, they put a non-acidic unguent or ointment on it. I had to slather this all over my bones, and then I had to come back to work. So the whole reason for this is to let people know that when you're handling very highly acidic vegetables, especially a jalapeno pepper, because it felt as if it was going to, I'll tell you what.
So it was very painful.
Painful? I thought it was going to burn off. And I'm telling you that sincerely. I thought that, I swear to God, I thought I had just dropped it into a bucket of hydrochloric acid. And
all right, so, and you're feeling better now?
I'm feeling better? Yes, I'm feeling better because it's feeling better. And when it feels better, I feel better. All right,
so Ted, I'm sorry that happened to you.
No, that's all right. It's all part of the game. Chef Chedilli, I know, is going to be coming on here in a moment and be talking to you about whatever the hell it is he's got cooking in there. But what we did this past week, and this is why I want to come on the program, is that we've got a new pizza oven that's coming in. Now, the pizza oven that we've got coming in, I thought I was using the right company because I didn't want to use that one company that was from Switzerland. For obvious reasons. When they had delivered this...
Now, what are the obvious reasons? I don't know what that is.
Because of the Germanic.
Yeah, well, why? Because you think Switzerland's Germany?
It's pretty close, wouldn't you say?
No, I mean, in terms of language, maybe, but what is the problem? You don't want a pizza oven from Germany, is that it?
No, I don't. And I don't give a damn how many years it's been. I will not have that. I will not see that. I will not be a part of that. I will not be around that. I will not feel it, touch it, love it, rub it. I don't want it. I don't need it. Now, what you were talking about when I was up there and I was with that little kid, his name was Ralph Crisp. Remember that kid?
Yeah, he was. Was that the little boy that was visually impaired?
Yeah, and we had what was called a, what they call a happy wanderer group, okay? So we went and we hiked with these kids. And we were in Portland, as you know. I was looking to open the restaurant, which we never did. One of the reasons why we never opened a restaurant in Portland is because I could never get it through the thick skulls up there. I'm not taking any pizza oven from Germany. And I'm sorry to have to yell at Phil.
Well, this is understandable, Ted. I certainly get that, but I don't see... There's no relationship between Switzerland and Germany, not in the sense that you're talking about.
Well, it's close enough, because what it said to me, I forget the name of the company, it was, but it had that name, it had like a German name, like, Schneiser or some crap, Schmeiser Incorporated. So I said, where's this from? He said, it's from Switzerland. I said, ain't that Germany? He said, no, it ain't. I said, well, isn't that close enough? He said, I don't know what you mean, sir, I'm just here to deliver it. I said, well, you ought to get a little bit more information, pal, before you just load something onto your truck and bring it someplace. He said, well, didn't you order this? I said, yes, I did, but I also am sorry for the fact that I did. I'm resentful of myself, regretful of myself, and I need for you to intercede on my behalf morally. Now,
what are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
Look, Bell, there's a whole lot of gobbledygook here. You're telling me, and you're telling the audience, you ordered a peach oven that was made in Switzerland, and because it had a Germanic name, you sent it back.
Exactly. That's the exact same thing I did in Portland. Only the problem is I was up hiking with that Crisp kid, that little kid Ralph Crisp, okay?
That's the kid's name?
Who was that?
That was that was Bud.
This dad, what was the kid's name?
The kid's Ralph Crisp. He was with that Happy Wanderer group that we had in Portland when we were setting the restaurant up.
That's a very, very commendable work that you did with those kids. All these young children that did not, that were visually impaired, were they all 100% blind or?
Yeah, most of them were. And unfortunately, I was forced into a situation that I hope to God I'm never forced into again. And that's when I had to pretend like I was walking him to the top of a mountain, and I said, let me go drop you off because I got to get back. And he said, what are you doing, Mr. Bell? I can't see. I don't know where. I said, you're in my car right now. I'm taking you home to your mom. He goes, okay. Did we go to the top of the mountain? And I think that's what he said. Or he said, yowie, and then he said, did we go to the top of the mountain?
What do you mean, yowie? What does that mean?
I think he got his hand caught in the door, and he went, yowie. And then he...
Well, we don't need to know everything that the kid said.
All right, so he said, are we going home? And I said, yeah. He said, did we go to the top of the mountain? I said, yeah, sure. I lied. I just walked him back and forth about 100 yards, and I said, oh, wow, look at the you can't see the view, but believe me, it's great. It's stunning. It's breathtaking. And he said, really, Mr. Bell? And I said, yeah. And he said, would you mind taking a picture of me standing here at the edge of this, at the top of the mountain? I said, sure, I will. I said, oh, shoot. I had to make up a whole bunch of baloney, Phil, because I had to get back to the restaurant because they were putting a pizza oven in there with a Swiss name on it. Now, it looks Germanic, and as far as I'm concerned, is.
All right, what's the hang-up, man, with having a pizza oven from Switzerland, other than the fact that it looks like it comes from Germany for the obvious, really bad ramifications of visually or otherwise that may have?
Well, because of the fact that I got people that come into my restaurant.
Are you telling me you said you got Jewish customers?
Not just Jewish customers. I got people coming to my restaurant. They're going to say, hey, you got pizza, huh? And I go, yeah, pizza. He says, yeah, let me go back and take a tour of the kitchen. And how am I going to say no to them?
You say no, we don't give tours of the kitchen.
I don't say that to people that are worth millions. People that come into my restaurant all the time, these are some of the top people, some of the highest, the biggest rollers, the top rollers, some of the holy rollers and the lazy rollers, and every kind of roller a guy could be, And
Derby.
Derby?
Yeah, roller derby.
Yeah, roller derby.
Oh, baby. All right. Well, if that, I'm going to get off the phone now, Phil. But
well, so in other words, you have a lot of people that you cannot avoid this information out to. All right. So did this happen again today?
No, earlier we were going to accept delivery. I don't know whether it was today or yesterday or tomorrow. I don't know. It might have happened in the future, and I'm just perceiving it. It happened, though, in Portland. And so the end result of that, of course, was the whole Happy Wanderer caper.
Now, did you ever work with those kids again? My understanding is they did find out eventually when the parents asked for that photograph of the little boy at the top of the mountain.
Yes, they asked for the photograph. I said, I don't have it on me. They said, would you mail it? I said, you know what? I lost it. And they said, the one-in-a-lifetime chance that this little boy had to be at the top of Mount Hood, which is where we were supposed to be hiking them to, And I said, what are you talking? They said that he had the one-in-a-lifetime chance to have a picture of himself taken at the top of Mount Hood, and you forgot? I said, I didn't forget. I'm still looking for the photograph. So this is now going on about 5 years, and unless I come up with a picture of this kid at the top of that mountain, I don't know what I'm...
Hey, Ted, just tell them, man, that you didn't take the kid to the top of the mountain. Tell them that you had to race back to the restaurant in Portland to make sure that this oven didn't get installed. And by the way, it's a really silly-ass consideration. I don't think you should have to worry about that stuff now.
Yeah, Ted, it's been many, many years since that kind of a thing would be deemed bad taste. And it was from Switzerland, for God's sake.
Yeah, well, the Swiss are not coming off smelling all that great these days. I don't know whether you've been reading the newspapers or not, but those people have got their both feet in it almost all the way up to their bones there.
To the what?
I said they've got both feet in it, and they've sunk down into it almost all the way up to the bones there.
All right, Ted, we hear you.
All right, so you understand what I'm saying. And so for me to have to, you know, I don't know. For me to have to explain that again after I had to do the whole thing there in Portland and...
Well, this is in L.A. This is in Beverly Hills. This has got nothing to do with that. Now, the bigger problem is with this little boy, Donald Crisp, or not Donald Crisp. That was an actor from the 1940s. What's his name?
Ralph Crisp. And then there was Terry Crisp, who was the, I believe, the coach of the Calgary Stampeders. Oh, no, the Calgary Flames. And then there was a guy by the name of Bill...
Hold the line, man. We got to take a break, okay?
What a rude way to tell me that you got to take a break. Just pot up some garbage from whoever the hell that was. Either that was, what the hell?
I promise
this better not be that Ray guy. I'm going to be pissed off.
It is. It's Wally. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Ted Bell is on the line with us here. And we're talking about pizza ovens.
No credit. No credit. No credit.
And this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. I'm Margaret Gray. Don't ever say the word gargle around me.
No moon in the sky tonight.
General Galen Shaw for the world-famous Phil Henry Show, supporting the podcast, supporting the website, supporting yourself, supporting good quality podcasting, good clean quality podcasting, with a minimum of fuss and muss. All you got to do, slip that thing on, take a look at yourself in the mirror, wear it all day. I don't even know what the hell it is I'm talking about.
I'm talking about the podcast.
Yes, the podcast, that's right. The podcast, available at the Phil Henry website and elsewhere. Of course, now, by supporting the podcast and the website, you got a backstage pass permission. I was going to say permission. It's not really...
It's like a backstage pass subscription.
That's it, yeah. A subscription which affords you access to hundreds of millions of hours of... I know it's only 20,000, but what... Like, it makes a difference, right?
Well, I mean, truth in advertising.
Yeah, sure. As I was saying, hundreds of millions of hours of quality podcasting and hours of radio, the best of the radio world, right there at philhenryshow.com. So why don't you do yourself a favor, Jack? And get on it and live in it. Live in it, son.
They still need love.
Oh, isn't that nice?
You know what? That pretty much says it.
Ted Bell telling us a convoluted story here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show having to do with... I don't know what the hell it is. It has to do with this working with the Happy Wanderers, which is a group of adults volunteering with sight visually impaired kids. And
Steakhouse.
All right, Ted.
Yeah, everybody, come on down to Ted's in Beverly Hills, even though Phil Henry's doing his very best right now to destroy my business, to tear it down brick by brick, nail by nail.
Right.
We want to put a meat in your mouth.
No, Ted, no, I'm not tearing your business down brick by brick, nail by nail.
Well, what are you saying, this convoluted story that I'm telling? It all gets to the present time. The Happy Wanderers are a group of these young people, you know, kids that you help. It's not like, it's like Make-A-Wish, only the kids aren't, they're not, you know, they're not going to croak, I shouldn't say croak out.
They're not terminally ill.
What's that?
They're not terminally ill, for God's sake.
All right, they're not terminally... What are you yelling at me for?
Well, croak out is a little rough.
Sorry. So, boy, that Eliana Douglas, man, she's not aging very well, is she?
Will you come on?
Oh, sorry. So, here's what I would say. When that, you know, the kids, if we are working with these kids, whether it's in Portland or whether it's here in Los Angeles, and the kid says, I want to go to the top of a mountain, and someone says to me, you better get back to the office because we got a pizza oven coming in, and it's got German writing all over it, I got to get gone, all right? And if I have to pretend like I'm walking the kid to the top of a mountain and I'm just walking him back and forth in a parking lot, that's what I got to do.
And that's what you did do, and now what you got is a problem with his parents who were looking for that picture of the kid at the top of Mount Hood. You said you took that kid to the top of a mountain. Were there any other adults there?
No, there were not. It was just the two of us. We were with a troop of people of about, I'd say, 20, and then this was the sort of the side trip of going up to the top of this mountain.
So there's nobody there that could make any... Well, there, that's the good news. There's no one there to say it didn't happen.
Well, thank God for that. But by the same token, I could have someone who was there saying, yeah, you know, I saw them go to the top of the mountain, and the kid was standing there, and he was going, wow, look at that. And I said, you realize the kid can't see, and they're like, you're right. So,
Yeah, but what was this whole thing about what the kid was saying?
Yeah, the kid said, take me to the top of the mountain so I can see the view.
That's what he said. I said, you know, I asked him, I said, Ralphie, now, you can't see, can you? He said, no, but I'm saying, he said, I want to go to the top of the mountain and imagine what it looks like so I can feel the wind in my face and I can feel the cold air. And I thought, God damn, I'm in big trouble. So I got one of those little fans that you buy, you know, the fans you can get to keep you cool in the summertime.
Oh, you did not, Ted.
Well, hey, I got to do something, right? So I pulled it out of the car. And I said, you're at the top of the mountain now, Ralph, and I turned the fan on.
You gotta be kidding me, man.
What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at you. Are you telling me that's exactly what happened?
I'm telling you that I did what I had to do, in the words of Jack Nicholson and Hoffa, to get the union back. You know?
So when did you get back? You did all of this so you could get back down and do what?
Get that pizza oven out of my restaurant. Which is exactly what I did here this morning.
You know what you got to do? You got to start ordering pizza ovens yourself. You're going to have to get somebody ordering pizza ovens. I don't know, you know.
Well, all right, so you turned on the fan, then what?
Then the kid, I said, you're at the top of the mountain. And he goes, ah, yes, I can feel the wind in my face. And he said, it's blowing in my face no matter which direction I turn. What's that about? I said, I don't know. Maybe the wind's changing or shifting. And then I realized I'm moving the fan, so I better stop doing that. And then he said, what's that smell? And I said, that's fried chicken. And he said, at the top of Mount Hood, I said, there had been a forest fire. And
well, where were you?
We were next to Popeyes, okay?
So you're what? You're walking a kid through a parking lot.
Bill, I've been through this embarrassment once before. I don't know what it is you're trying to say.
Yeah, we talked about it on the radio once before.
I never heard this story.
Oh, the hell. I told you that the kid, I walked the kid in the parking lot.
You didn't tell me that you were walking him back and forth in a Popeyes.
It wasn't at the Popeyes. The parking lot was next door.
So wait a minute. I'm just getting this, Bell, because I'm always fascinated at how you get yourself out of these predicaments and continue to make money. That's the part that gets me. I don't know how you do that.
Because I'm damn good. Just like you guys were saying yesterday, all right? That's how good I am.
All right, so you take this kid, so he thinks, to the top of the mountain. You got one of those portable fans that you're blowing in his face, and that's the cold mountain air. Is that what that is?
Yes, that's the cold.
Isn't that what that is? Yes or no?
What is this, anyway?
We're asking you questions that you need to answer.
Yes, that's what it was.
All right, so now the kid smells fried chicken, and you tell him there'd been a forest fire.
What else are you going to say if you got a kid who's supposed to be at the... you know, you people are something else.
Bell, you're the one that's making up all these lies, man. But you're trying to interpret what I mean.
Well, seeing fried chicken, I certainly understand that. From the standpoint, if there's a forest fire.
But let me ask you something. What, when they say there's fried chicken at the top of a mountain because of a forest fire, when was the last time you saw chickens at the top of a mountain?
Well, I mean, the chickens at the top of the mountain.
What are you saying?
I'm asking you, how did you explain having chickens up there?
I said there was a forest fire and the mountain chicken. Okay?
The mountain chicken. So you made something up.
No, I did not make something up. There happens to be, there's got to be, I don't know if there is, there's got to be, and I'm telling you right now, I will bet the very genitals that got burned by that jalapeno acid this morning.
So you're willing to put your as they say, your balls on the line.
You guys aren't going to believe it anyway, so what difference does it make?
What do you want me to believe, Ted? That there's something called the...
Yeah.
Okay, I get laughed at. These are the dues that I pay, ladies and gentlemen, for buying advertising on the Phil Henry Show. But I will tell you all this, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. No matter what happens to you today, I hope you are treated much, much better than I am treated each and every day here on the Phil Henry Show. I try to bring my very best to the table. I try to talk as honestly as I can.
Yeah, about taking a kid mountain climbing who never went to the top of the mountain.
He never went to the top of the mountain because I had to get a pizza oven from Switzerland out of my restaurant. Oh, and anyway, come on down to Ted's in Beverly Hills and hey, guess what we're serving today? Mountain chicken. Oh!
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Ted's in Beverly Hills, a proud sponsor of the, I guess he's a proud sponsor. I guess I'll have to ask him. when we get around to that. Ted Bell from Ted's Beverly Hills sponsoring this segment of the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Now, did he say whether mountain chicken exists?
I don't know whether mountain chicken exists or not. I don't know. We'll get Dave Oliva coming up on the line next to talk about the legalization of marijuana recreational. Dave, as you know, is an aspiring police officer. He's taking criminal justice, law enforcement at L.A. Canyon College with an eye toward becoming a member of the Los Angeles, if you will, or Los Angeles PD. So that coming up next here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And don't forget, visit us online at YouTube. That's youtube.com/TheRealPhilHenry.
Each, let's go get a wave. They say what they gonna say. Have a drink.
Yeah, the world-famous Phil Henry Show for the El Pacific on Southern California. I'll be right back here, y'all.
Let's go get it down. The sound, yes, I'm in the zone.
Don't forget to write a rating and review on iTunes real soon.
Hey, everybody, it's Jay Sanis at Citizens Auxiliary Police. I don't know if you've been over to our merchandise store there and the Phil Henry Show website, merchandise store, I don't know what you call it, but Mr. Henry has our new Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirts. These are not Ted's of Beverly, what I say, Ted's of Beverly Hills, the book. Not the Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirt is there, but I'm talking about Jay Sanis, Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt. So, am I calling from your restaurant?
No, this is the vacuum. This is we're sitting in the vacuum of time and space. We are inhabiting the same vacuum of time and space. I would never be anywhere you are, Jay, nor would you be anywhere I am. But for the purposes of us promoting our t-shirts, we sit now in a sort of astral plane.
Thank you.
Anyway, go over to the Phil. Jesus, you asked me.
Anyway, go over to the Phil Henry Show website and get yourself the Jay Sanis Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt. That's it, right here. Jay Sanis, Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt, and I'm here to tell you, it's badass and getting battered asser all the time.
Phil Henry Show website at philhenryshow.com and our online store.
But fuck who you want, and fuck all who right, you man, want. That's great, thanks. On the line from Northern L.A. County, up near L.A. Canyon College, Dave Oliva, he is at L.A. Canyon College taking some classes this morning, I guess. I don't know if he's at school or is he on his way to school. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Henry.
And, Dave, from all of us to you up there at school, we're wishing you the very best. Because everybody's asking us, when are you planning on graduating?
Well, I mean, right now I'm taking a full load. And that was, by the way, something I said to Dickman, you know.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Wait, what is this about?
You don't want to know.
Yeah, I do want to know.
Well, Dickman goes, I go, I'm taking a full load. He goes, yeah. And I said, man. And so I was on my way over there. And
You were on your way over to where?
Over to your studios.
And you were going to do what?
I was going to kick his ass.
I see. All I did was laugh.
Yeah, well, you don't laugh at me. You don't say that to me, man. Because I get in my car and come and kick the ass. And then General Shaw called up. He goes, hey, hold it. You know, and he got Dickman back on the phone, and he apologized. So,
when did this take place?
This morning.
I was asking him about, are you still taking a full load? He goes, yeah, I'm taking the full load. And I go, he, yeah, really? And
yeah, okay, tell him the rest, man.
I said,
I don't want to know the rest. I don't want to know the rest.
So, the next thing I heard, I heard the car door slam and the line went dead. You know?
Yeah, and so I was on my way over there, and that's when...
Did you call him up?
I used this knucklehead's phone, and I called up Oliver, and I go, what are you doing, son? And he said, I'm going over there to kick ass.
Well, see ya.
Whoa, hold on there. He said, I'm going over there to kick ass and take names. I said, what happened? He said, this one here, Dickman, said, are you still taking a full load? And when he said, yeah, Dickman did his usual hee-hee-hee. And that's when I said, Dickman, get over here and apologize now. And I want to hear this so there's no mistaking.
Yeah, so Dickman apologized. So, all was good.
You were going to come over here and kick his ass.
Well, Mr. Henry, I'm a god. What do you expect me to do?
No, we'd have to call the police on you.
I am the police. Well, I'm not the police, but I'm studying to be the police.
Son, let me tell you something. You may have been right, and I happen to think that you were right, but you can't come over here and take the law into your own hands. If anything like that happens in the future, you let me know. I'll kick his ass.
Okay, General, that sounds like a good deal. You know?
But you kick my ass for it. I never did nothing to you.
Let me tell you what, buddy. If you ask somebody, you know, are you taking a full load at school, and they say, yes, I am, and you go, hee, 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 That's almost as if you've said that to me.
Well, I appreciate that, General, very much.
Don't mention it.
All right, have we got that cleared up now?
That's the most juvenile and idiotic waste of time I've ever heard in my life.
Well, I mean, Miss Gray...
No, it really, honestly, is. You could have passed that off. You could have said to him, you know what? I'm much bigger than you. I have things to do. I know I'm going to go on the show this morning with Mr. Hendry. But instead, you jeopardized your appearance on the show.
Well, I mean, not that being on Mr. Henry's show is not a big thing, but it's not, like, that big. It's more important, you know...
So it's more important for you to come over here and kick his ass, as you put it, than to be on the program on time?
In that instance, yeah. Because when a guy says to me, are you taking a full load? And I go, yeah. And he goes, because that's the way he said it, Mr. Henry. You know?
All right, so he was being salacious, insultingly salacious with the laugh.
Well, I don't know what that means.
Well, yeah, what does it mean?
It means you were being insulting.
Now, talk about going hee-hee-hee.
What? So if I just said ha-ha, like I was saying, oh, are you taking a full load? Yeah, ha-ha-ha-ha, you got to take a full, because I don't have to go to school anymore. How do you know it wasn't that?
Because of the way you did it, man.
Yeah, no, he said, he described it to me. It wasn't ha-ha-ha, you know, you have to work and I don't, or you have to go to school and I don't. It was hee-hee-hee-hee. You know?
Well, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, because if you're taking the different law enforcement classes that I take, and we know about, for instance, obscene phone callers, we know about, for instance, bomb threats, we know about now, everything we do know now that we didn't know, say, 5, 6, 7 months ago about the way a guy goes, hee-hee, you know, as opposed to...
What do you mean 5 or 6 or 7 months ago? Things are changing that fast, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's a very rapidly changing area of police work, the obscene phone calls, because more and more, a lot of people are using our telephonic in their, you know, like, threatening people and everything, you know?
All right, that's very, very nice. This is asinine, Phil. Are we going to move past this?
We're moving past it. I want to talk about the legalization of marijuana as a recreational drug. Dave Oliva on the line with us from a law enforcement standpoint.
You're not a full law enforcement officer yet, Dave.
No, I'm not. I'm still a student at L.A. Canyon College, but my goal is to be LAPD. And Mr. Henry asked me to come on the program from the standpoint of my area of study. But can I just... One thing, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead.
I just want to say, from what we know now about the obscene phone call, I just want to make one thing. When a guy calls, he goes, yeah, are you going to take a full load? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, hee-hee-hee. See,
I know, that's different from ha-ha-ha.
Well, not ha-ha, what'd you do? If he was trying to...
Like, if I was trying to say that, ha-ha-ha, I have it better than you, I go, hey, are you going to take my full load? And
what are you talking about, man?
No, you're not going to say that way.
I mean, are you going to take a full load? You go, yeah. I'll go, ha-ha-ha, you got to take a full load, and I don't even have to take no load. You know?
You know, bud, you're doing that on purpose.
What?
You're using load, full load, half load, and I can see the look on your face. You're all hee-hee-hee-hee. So don't you think for a minute, young man, you're getting this past me.
What's he doing?
All right, now hold on.
No, what are you doing?
I didn't do anything. I go, are you taking a load? I go, hee-hee-hee-hee.
Yeah, see right there, man, that's exactly what I mean. That's what we've learned in the last 7 months.
Yeah, I know. You've learned this in the last 7 months about obscene phone calls and what they sound like.
Look, I got this thing straightened out this morning, Oliver. I don't want to have any more problems with this, you understand?
God, man.
I'm not laughing at you.
All right, so, bud.
So, all I said was, ha, ha, ha.
No, you didn't, man.
I mean, that's what I would have said, but I didn't. I went, yee.
Yeah, and that's the difference, okay? From what we understand and what we know.
Yeah, I know. From what we've studied and what we know in law enforcement for the last 7 months, instead of the guy going, ha, 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 if he goes, yee, that means...
You bring this on yourself, Phil.
That's right. That's what I do. All right. Dave Oliva is with us now. And as we run out of time, Dave, my questions are concerning the legalization of marijuana. Now, as a student of law enforcement and wanting to eventually become a police officer, what do you, when you look at this, and you hear people say this is a bad use of a police officer's time, and that is arresting people for the possession of marijuana. How do you feel about the ultimate legalization of this?
Well, I mean, that's a very difficult question to ask, Mr. Ernie, because we've seen people under the influence of marijuana Some people are abusive with the drug, and I'll tell you something right now, and you need to understand this. Everybody says that marijuana is not, you know, it's not a bad drug, it's not a dangerous drug. It may not be dangerous for a lot of people, but if you're an abusive type of personality, if you're the individual who literally, Mr. Henry, is smoking marijuana every day, like from the, like I had a cousin, okay? I will go right to it. I had a cousin. First thing he did in the morning was light up a reefer and smoke, a blunt all day long. And I know there are people listening right now who know people who are just like that. Okay?
Yeah, but I mean, and I don't mean nothing racist about it, but he's Hispanic.
What about it, man?
Well, what about the local weed thing?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Mr. Henry.
Why don't you shut up, bud, before somebody in this office here kicks your ass as opposed to Dave getting in the car?
Well, aren't you aware?
He's talking about something about local weed coming up from Mexico. I told you that was baloney.
Yeah, man, that was the Anslinger report, okay?
The what?
The Anslinger report, man. I told you that guy's a liar, man. He's a liar. That's the guy that said that weed come from Mexico is like local weed, and they're bringing it up from Mexico.
Oh, yeah, that was the guy from the 30s. He was a total... It was a big lie. It was perpetrated by the federal government. The city of New York commissioned their own study on the effects of marijuana. They found it to be benign, not anywhere near as dangerous as what this guy Harry Anslinger came up with. And that is something that we have been laboring under as a country ever since. That's why you have these perceptions of marijuana being a dangerous drug.
But here's the thing. I think it is dangerous for certain people. If you're an addictive personality.
No, I understand that. I understand that.
Well, what do you mean by an addictive person? You're not talking about physical addiction.
No, I'm not talking about that. But one of the things that Dickman was just talking about, and, you know, all kidding aside, if I'm a police officer and I pull an individual over and I can detect the smell of marijuana in the vehicle or on the person of the person that is, you know, getting out of the car, that I'm taking out of the car, I'm going to talk to them. I'm probably going to have to do the full pat-down. I'm going to ask for ID. I'm going to say to them, okay, once you have a seat right here on the back fender, I'm probably going to have to cuff you for my safety and yours. And then I go back to the radio, and I'll go, yeah, 10-4, 10-4, and...
All right, we don't have to hear the whole process here.
But I know what I'm saying. If at any time... I hear that dude go, yee, because, you know, marijuana will make you laugh.
God, what does that mean? The guy wants you to take his load?
No, it doesn't, man. It means that dude has a particular susceptibility to the PCP in the marijuana, and he's all going, yee, like he's mindless, you know?
That's an indication to you of what?
That he's a mindless idiot. You know,
when he goes, he, this was the laugh that you and Bud were, you know, I don't know whether they're putting me on or not.
No, I'm telling the truth, whether or not it's true or not.
Now, these knuckleheads, they think they're laying some real serious wisdom on us. I think you guys, especially you, Dave, are you studying every day? Or are you just going off and eating candy bars and, you know...
Well, what are you, like I'm going off and spanking it instead of being in class? Is that what you're going to say?
I'm just about, yeah. Because if you think that some kind of a giggly-ass guy going he is either an indication of the guy being a salacious, mouth-breathing, obscene phone caller, or a guy that abuses marijuana, you're driving me nuts!
Jesus!
Hey, walk it off, will you, General?
Hey, General.
I can't take this anymore, I tell you.
God, man. What happened to him?
You're flipping everybody out with your baloney here with that he. Now, I heard Bud and I heard you. We went through the whole process when you guys are talking about obscene phone calls. But this, enough is enough here, okay?
You want me to tell you about the addictive personality? What you... Oh, man. You want me to tell you about the addictive personality?
Calm down, okay? I'm not trying to yell at you, Dave.
That's what you're doing, man. You're saying it like you addict me to everything.
They're the one that said he.
Hey, man, because I know about police work.
All right, so when you hear a guy go he, that also means he's addicted to weed.
You got a problem, yeah. You got a problem user. And that's a guy that is very likely going to go home, light up a blunt, and do a bunch of obscene phone calls. Going to go he, all that kind of stuff. So you know, Mr. Henry, before you start talking all kinds of smack and all kinds of garbage, you really should know what you're talking about.
I ain't talked any garbage at all, man. I'm listening to you.
Well, you're making some inferences.
No, Dave, we're not making any inferences.
I don't mean you, Miss Graham. I'm talking about Mr. Henry.
I don't think he's made any inferences. He's trying to understand this correlation between this kind of a laugh and the addictive personality.
Well, we have to be very aware of that as police officers, all right? And I did a lot of studying of the effects of marijuana in school.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Is it true they let you guys smoke that weed?
Well, if you're a police officer, yeah, but I'm not a police officer yet. But, you know.
What was that?
I went like that.
All right, it sounded like you released gas or some sort of breaking of wind. Would you not do that?
I'm sorry, I was just, all I was doing was going like, you know.
Yes, I don't like that.
And Margaret, I mean, come on, is the guy's just on the other end of a phone.
I don't like it. Now, my question then is the following. Do you feel that the legalization of this drug, marijuana, will be beneficial to police work insofar as you will not be called upon to interdict, and that is a word, interdict, all right?
Yes, ma'am.
The use of that.
I think that, as I said, I'm happy for society. If this is what society wishes to do, my job as a police officer is to simply enforce the law. If society says this is the law today and tomorrow it's not going to be a law, then I'm not going to enforce it. Is it going to leave me time to pursue other more serious crimes? Yes, of course it is. But I also believe that I will still have the same problems in terms of traffic enforcement because I have to arrest somebody who's under driving impaired regardless of whether the drug is legal or not. And if that individual is driving impaired, okay, and one of the reasons that we're talking about the HEE is because, okay, I guess you're going to yell at me for this, but if I hear a guy go, hee, 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 it's very likely that he's been driving impaired.
All right, you know.
What are you talking about now?
What do you think, man?
Don't you have to know that there's marijuana on the guy?
He may have it on him, he may not have it on him. He might have left the house after he smoked it. Okay, let's say the guy left the house, and he's going for a business meeting in downtown L.A., and he blasted up, and he put the, you know, he went ahead and he put the roach out, gets in his car, okay, puts on all kinds of Febreze, he's using mouthwash, chewing gum, all this, airs out the car, I can't smell anything, and I pull up, maybe he used Visine, he ain't even got no eyes that are all that bad, and I'm going, okay, I have to write you a ticket, because it looked like you swerved into the lane, you know, you don't have control of the automobile. I'm not thinking he's impaired necessarily, I'm thinking that maybe he's just being reckless. Until I hear him go, hee, hee, then I'm like, okay, get out of the car, let's go. And I've seen that happen, Mr. Henry.
You know, this hee, hee, you guys are telling me you're reading a whole lot into a laugh.
I've seen it happen, man. I've seen it happen. I was doing a ride-along one time as part of my sophomore thesis on ride-alongs, okay? They wanted me to do a whole paper on ride-alongs. And literally, how do you get in the car? How do you put the seatbelt on? What do you do when you're sitting in this? You know, how do you ride along, you know?
And ride-alongs with other officers.
Just any ride-along. Like, say, you sit in a shotgun.
What?
So, God, Mr. Henry, what? What?
Hey, Phil, you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. So, go ahead.
So, I'm doing a paper. And I was doing a paper on ride-along. So, I'm riding with this officer with Glendale Police. We pull over this one dude, and the officer says to me, why don't you walk up and you can observe from behind me. And a lot of times they think you're playing clothes anyway, so that's better for me. So I did, and I hear him going, yeah, so, you know, let me see your license, blah, blah, blah. Then I hear the guy go, hee, hee, hee. He goes, okay, man, get out of the car. And the dude's all, what? And he said, get out of the car, man. You're under arrest for the possession of cannabis in your bloodstream, which I don't yet know you have, but I do think you're, you know, like.
Well, he's arresting him for driving impaired.
Yeah, that's it. He's arrested him for driving impaired.
Now, can you do a breath test for weed?
I think so, but then again, you know what? I don't know. I haven't seen the breathalyzers yet that they have one. I think they've got a weedalyzer.
Yeah, they're coming up with the weedalyzer.
What is the weedalyzer?
What is that? You can breathe into that?
Yeah, you breathe into it, and it analyzes the weed that you smoke, you know?
No. It's supposed to tell you that the guy smoked weed.
No, you already know the guy smoked weed. You want to know what kind? You know, I don't know.
Well, what do you got to know that for?
The potency? Find out what kind of weed is available? I don't know, you know, so.
The weedalyzer. All right, Dave.
Yeah, well,
thank you very much, Dave. It's been very edifying. It's great to have you with us. We appreciate it, and have a good day at school, okay?
Yeah, and you want me to come back on, Mr. Ernie, when I find out about the the Weedalizer, or if I find out more about you know, because I can do.
Yeah, you do that, man. Find out if there's any more advancements in the science of analyzing a guy's dope laugh.
Well, I mean,
you do that, Dave. We'll talk to you later.
All right, Dave Oliva. See you later, everybody.
Dave Oliva.
You're yelling at me about that.
Hey, bud, you know.
Nobody knows what you're talking about, man, when you talk about the hee-hee. Why don't you talk in police terms?
That's what Dave was saying.
Dave's not a cop yet. He's a student. We keep bringing him on this show.
I don't understand that either. You're always bringing that young man on. He doesn't know a thing. In reality, I don't think he knows a thing about actual police work.
Well, the young man's studying to be a cop, and I think it gives everyone, I think it encourages other young people to consider law enforcement as a line of work. I think it's a very noble line of work. And I'll tell you something else right now. I'm getting sick and tired of hearing about these police officers at risk, people shooting at them, and so on and so forth. All lives matter, okay?
All right, look, a general.
No. All lives matter. I'll have none of that.
No one's saying that all lives don't matter. You know, the Black Lives Matter thing is a different thing.
Well, don't get in the middle of that, Phil, because people will think you're a racist.
Are you serious?
Damn, they say not Black Lives Matter. They say that's racist because somehow you think they're superior.
How does Black Lives Matter mean you're racist? Black Lives Matter is simply somebody saying, hey, you know, Black Lives Matter too. White Lives Matter, all lives matter, all that stuff. God, man, it drives me crazy. I mean, you know, does that mean, for instance...
Phil, don't give the speech. I'm just telling you what people are perceiving.
Does that mean if you talk about women having breast cancer, and all of a sudden a guy comes along and says, hey, wait a second, all lives matter. Why, guys get, ball cancer. What about that?
Well, they do that anyway.
Yeah, and is that fair? I mean, is that fair to you? You're trying to get out a point about something. Every time somebody comes up with something, it's like we're a culture of children now. We're just little. You know, it's like I remember when the kids were young, you'd say to them, okay, well, so-and-so gets something. Well, can I get something, too? Because everybody had to be equal.
Yeah, well, you know, that's little kids, Phil.
No, that's this culture. That's the culture of adults. How do we even think we can raise children when we act like children? When someone says, you know, Black Lives Matter.
Well, yeah, well, all lives matter.
Why is that? Why would that be a cause for getting pissed off? I don't understand that.
Because the perception then is that when you say Black Lives Matter, that there's something wrong with the police.
I don't think that necessarily means that. I think it means if a black person is shot and killed by a cop, would you please investigate it with the same vigor and interest and not make these assumptions that the guy's a thug that you don't do when somebody gets shot and they're white.
Right there you go. You're never going to get white people to admit that they're racist against black people. And you're never going to get the cops to admit that they're racist against the black people. And you'll never get black people to admit that they're racist against the black people. And
what are you saying?
What I'm saying?
General, I got it. But I think I've just said it. We don't need to go anywhere more. All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We got Debbie Daly's going to be joining us. It is her fifth anniversary on public radio as the number one rated public radio morning show hosted by a hearing-impaired person, right?
No, I think she is the number one rated public radio show morning show. Absolutely.
It doesn't take. Oh, here's Drake. Somebody emailed me a GIF of Drake dancing. I thought I was going to have endless diarrhea laughing at it. Like my
girls, baby. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Yeah. Don't forget to write a rating and a review for us at iTunes. That's right. If you enjoy the Phil Henry podcast as much as you know you do, then please do write a review of our show at iTunes. Give us the big thumbs up. Give us the big rating. See if we can't crack the metrics over there at iTunes. It's a real secret metric. They got a real hush-hush. They don't want anyone to know how they do it. Same as Twitter. What do you have to do to become verified at Twitter? We now believe it has something to do with providing oral sex to one of the...
Margaret.
No, I'm sorry, but I just...
Please ignore what she just...
No, don't ignore it. I think you have to go to Twitter and you have to...
Oh, my God, time to have a suck one.
Anyway, just never mind, folks.
Oh, Phil is all nervous that he won't get verified.
I personally don't care. You're the one that's all wigging out about it.
Yes, I am, because verification means money. Money.
Anyway, so do that, folks. Please write a nice review and a rating for us on... iTunes. Well, it was 5 years ago today. Oh, by the way, everybody was, I know what everyone was making the big deal out of, and I didn't really give a crap about it. And it was yesterday, the 21st of October, 2015, was in the movie Back to the Future 2.
Now, what about it?
Well, they made a whole bunch of predictions in the movie that what life would be like in 2015. It wasn't even close to it, so.
Well, they had the one, the holograph.
Yeah, the holographic shark used as an advertisement. And we have the holograph of Tupac, but that's about as close as it got. Debbie Daly is with us, and she is holding forth over there at Texas in Washington, D.C., having some breakfast. And Debbie is going to be talking with us here about her fifth anniversary. Debbie, I assume you just got off the air, right?
Good morning, Debbie. So this is the fifth anniversary show. Did you have any guests?
Joe Biden. So Joe Biden came by the studio? You had Hillary Clinton.
Wait, hold on just a minute. Debbie, this is General Shaw. Yes, I don't understand you as clearly as Phil and Margaret do. I guess they've been talking to you for... Do you understand, bud?
Yeah, I understand Debbie pretty good. Morning, Debbie. I'm pretty good.
Debbie, I'm here. Yeah, well, last week. Yeah, well, I think so, because that's the my, you know, my grandmother has two of them. She sold one.
Wait. Everybody's having a nice little chit-chat with you, Debbie. I don't understand a thing you're saying. What did she say?
She said if you're bigoted, she can certainly understand, but please don't...
Wait, I didn't say I was bigoted.
Why can't you understand her, then?
I can't... What do you mean bigoted? I'm not... There's no bigotry. You mean bigotry against someone who is handicapped?
Bigoted against somebody who is hearing impaired.
Well, that's what I meant. Are you saying that I have bigotry?
You'd probably be able to hear her better than you do now.
You know, I reject that thesis. That is not it at all. I just can't understand a thing you're saying. I am not bigoted against hearing impaired people or anyone else.
If you could really cut, if you're really not bigoted, you could really understand her.
If I'm really not bigoted, I can understand you.
If you would just listen to her without your bigotry, if you just let your heart be open to what she's saying, you'd understand her.
I wish.
Well, it is true.
Do you want to try?
Do I want to try what?
Will you just converse with me without Phil interpreting?
Yes, okay. I there's no bigotry, but I don't know.
It could very well be something hidden way back in the recesses of your heart, General.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times we don't understand, General, the things what we're bigoted about.
Yeah, okay, Dickman, thank you for that life lesson.
You want to do it or don't you?
Yes, I'll do it. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, say that again. Yes, I do. Everyone knows Everyone knows the meeting. Everyone knows the meme. I'm sorry, say it again. Did I pop the little baby? Well, you get out of here with this prod. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to flip my lid.
Debbie, let's just talk about the anniversary.
She called you an asshole.
Yeah, I'll bet she did. I'm telling you right now. Come on, Debbie. I'll see you in hell.
We had to push him out of the room, Debbie. Five years on the air at public radio, and the number one rated morning show in public radio. Please don't use that word.
Can't say the F word.
Debbie.
Okay. No.
The number one rated show hosted by a hearing impaired person on public radio. Okay. Well, congratulations, Debbie, for a phenomenal, phenomenal run. And we certainly do hope that you are continuing in that capacity for a long time. General, do you want to say anything?
I'll see her in hell. And we will wrestle it.
Yeah. So the general said congratulations. You're welcome. Well, she's a remarkable young lady, I think.
She has come a long way, a long, long way.
General, do you want to say anything to her?
You tell Debbie Daly, General Galen Shaw's coming, and hell follows with me. Hell!
Anyway, thank you, General, and, Bud?
Yeah, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.
Yeah, Debbie Daly, please. Yeah, this is General Shaw. Is this you, Debbie? Now, you listen good. You fucked with the wrong guy here. A raccoon, huh?